This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Hello and welcome to the final round and the final County Cricket Natters of this season. Today I have with me Dan Whiting. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Annie.
Did you do any commentary this round or?
No, I was purely there in a voyeuristic capacity.
Okay. And I have with me again Harry Everett after his storming time last time. And it's very good to have you with us again, Harry.
Yeah, delighted to be here as always. Great to end the season in a nice chat about it.
Yeah. And we're very, very delighted to have with us Dan Norcross, who had his club awards last night. Hello, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
It's an absolute pleasure to be back. And it's a bookend the season because I believe we were together at the start of this season to look ahead at what may or may not unfold. And now we will be able to look back and see what did unfold and test our expertise against actual facts.
You just want to get that in, don't you?
I'm just saying, that's all.
And I will now pass you over to Dan, who's going to take us through the rounds of the final championship.
Yes, let's go up the M1, up to Headingley, where Gloucestershire and Yorkshire had a relegation battle. Gloucestershire were already down. Yorkshire were in big, big trouble. Gloucestershire batted first. They got 190 and they were indebted to James Bracey's 71. Four wickets there for Matt Fisher. Yorkshire then responded almost with parity. They got 183. Zafar Gahar, named as Gloucestershire's Player of the Year last night, he got 5 for 40. Gloucestershire then batted again. They were indebted to Ollie Price's 68, which he really ground out. Jack Taylor's 67. And then Yorkshire were 119 for 6 in massive trouble. Dominic Best got them out of it with 79. They needed just 18 more runs before Steve Patterson, in his last game for Yorkshire, cut one to Chris Dent at point, leaving Gloucestershire winners. Harry Everett, Steve Patterson, what a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a fitting, apt way to end, wouldn't it? We've seen Darren Stevens bow out in the final, then actually be injured for last championship demolition of Somerset at Canterbury last week. But Patterson, a bit gutted for him, but he's been such a county stalwart. I mean, a duck off 27 balls isn't really the way you want to go out, but he'll be remembered for his wicket-taking, won't he? He'll be remembered for his bowling. That kind of attacking, sort of hit-the-pads, LBW-type bowler who's just, you know, like a Chris Rushworth we had on the pod last week. He's a county stalwart. He's been a legend for the club and done so much for Yorkshire. And obviously being captain for so many years as well, it's a big loss for Yorkshire.
Yeah, loyalty to the club as well. Yeah.
I saw him the week before at the Oval and there was talk about, could he get to 500 wickets? I mean, he couldn't because Surrey only needed to bat once, so he didn't get a great deal of opportunity. So I've got to throw that in as well. but yeah, I mean, he's been he's never looked like playing for England, and as a result, he's a really handy player for somebody to have. You know, he's a county stalwart, first name on a team sheet, captain, then was sort of stood down in strange circumstances. It seemed a little weird to me that they didn't give him another year, because they're a club that could do with some familiar faces who know what's going on. And I think his loss is going to be a massive blow for them. But I can tell you, his batting has definitely weakened. I remember when he was actually quite difficult to get out, and at the Oval, he was, I mean, to say the eyes had gone, I think would be fair. He's batting below Ben Code. So, you know, once you're batting below Ben Code, I think it's time to hang up the bat at any rate. He could still bowl, but batting was not on. So it's a bit of unfair, really, to expect him to get Yorkshire over the line. But what a way to go. Cut. You should be cutting a ball. Not when you're 9 down and there's somebody in at the other end. Oh, God.
No. Right. Dan, have you seen much of Zafar Gahar?
No, very little. Only on streaming. He looks exciting, doesn't he? I mean, what a brilliant signing. There have been some really good signings, actually, that clubs have brought in that I don't think people saw coming, and he was definitely one of them. And he doesn't get the plaudits that, say, Sean Massoud or Chiteshwar Pujara or Darren Worrell has got. Genius signings, partly, I think, because, you know, Gloucestershire have had such a wretched season, but he's been instrumental, hasn't he, in the winning the last two games. And that'll give him a bit of a fillip, won't it, going into next year, albeit who knows what happens at the end of next year. So I dare say you discuss that to death. But
he's nearly got 500 runs and 50 wickets, which is the modern-day double, isn't it? So anyway, that result left, well, let's say there's a lot of people in life who can't sweat. Sir Alistair Cook for one, Prince Andrew for another. But that one left Yorkshire sweating, because they were praying that Warwickshire didn't win, because otherwise they were going down. And at Edgbaston, Warwickshire, they started off with 272 for four. Then they declared. Rob Yates got 104, but they had to declare because there was a lot of rain around. So that left Kent safe. Hampshire responded with 311, underpinned by James Vince's 98. There was four wickets for Liam Norwell. I might come on to him in a minute. Warwickshire then, 177, Dominic Sibley, 77. And Hampshire then needing just 5 runs before Liam Norwell interjected. He ended up with 9 for 62 to leave Warwickshire winners and Yorkshire relegated. Dan Norcross, massive blow for Yorkshire.
Massive blow. And, you know, as you will well know, I'm half Surrey, half Yorkshire. My mother's side of the family are from Yorkshire. And I was delighted they went down, because that's the side of my family that is completely mental. And no, I'm not, obviously. look, I think there is like a dreadful sadness when a club so steeped in history, they are the most successful county championship side in history, and when they go down, it is like a horrendous shock. But I'm not surprised, because towards the back end of the season, they have been wretched. I mean, I mentioned seeing them at Surrey last week. Surrey played well. They're, you know, the best side in the division. But Yorkshire absolutely capitulated. And I'm looking at particular players like Tom Kola Cadmore. You know, there was a point in the game at the Oval when they were right in the match, and he just suddenly hurled himself at a ball from Tom Laws, got out, precipitated a collapse. Their tail has just not wagged at all. And it's so important, the runs you get off the fall of the fifth wicket. For 10 years out of 11 in the county championship, the sides that score most runs after the loss of the fifth wicket have won the damn thing. And Yorkshire never looked like doing that. They've been hampered, haven't they? They've been hampered by the loss of their England players, but they were always going to be. You know, loads of counties find themselves in that situation and they didn't have the backup for it. They've also been hampered by injuries. I mean, Matt Fisher coming into the side, picking up those four wickets was a hint of what they might have been able to do had he not had that, you know, his issues with injury. But they look kind of rudderless. They rely on, you know, occasional moments of fight back. People like Johnny Tattersall. They've got some interesting young players. I'm really interested by Finlay Bean, because that is a name to conjure
great
with.
Name,
but, you know, isn't it the best? It's absolutely the best. But frankly, you know, Warwickshire were the poor team overall, I felt, over the season. But when it came to it, Yorkshire just didn't have the fight. And, I mean, it was a pretty miserable capitulation. When they went into that game at Surrey, we were talking to Jonathan Deutsch, saying, look, there's no way you can go down. It would require all the following things to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they did. And one of the things to happen had to be that Yorkshire would be utterly pitiful, not get enough batting bonus points for a start, not even be able to, they're playing against Gloucestershire, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Or rather, Gloucestershire playing against Hampshire, for God's sake. They've got to see that as a kind of, as a fillip. Dig in, get to 300. And they never looked like doing that. Not anything like enough of their players stepped up at any point in the season. I think they only won one, didn't they, by the end of it? Won one match out of 14. Gloucestershire finished bottom, won two, the last two. So, I'm afraid it's kind of deserved, even if it is sad, and it will cause no doubt lots of people to wonder where Joe Root was. Because you remember the furore over Adil Rashid not playing in the 2016 County Championship finale. And
yes, there was lots, wasn't there? Yeah.
Now, I want to preface this by saying I have no idea, whether Joe Root would have been allowed to play or not. He's contracted to England. Mm. So if they've told him he can't play, fair enough. But Surrey had Pope and Folks, didn't they, for the really important game against Yorkshire.
Annie, you've got a view on the Joe Root situation.
I was just interested to see, because there's a picture of him playing golf, obviously, and I was interested to see who he was with, which was Peterson, Morgan. And
Not Owen.
Yeah. No,
not Owen. Yeah.
He is Morgan. And Michael Vaughan, which it kind of sums up the championship, the people that aren't really into the championship, I don't know about Piers Morgan, but Vaughan and Peterson certainly aren't. So I was just interested to see who he was actually playing golf for. And Yorkshire will be, the Yorkshire fans will be rightly annoyed that he wasn't playing. But like Dan Norcross says, we don't know the contractual things with England. But Broad was up there, apparently, and he came down and played for Notts. So
I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, I'm pretty sure if Root had been released and people at Yorkshire had said, look, we need you, it's one game, we could be going down. And going down this year is the worst year to go down.
Exactly.
I mean we don't know. We don't know if those recommendations are going to come into effect. But if they're looming, and you're going down, then that's the point when it's sort of all hands to the pump. But, from what I know of Joe Root and being around him a fair bit, I'm pretty sure that he would have wanted to play. Mm. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is... he plays two formats, don't forget. So Broad, Pope and Folks all play one format. They play Test match. Root plays ODIs as well. And it was a pretty tough summer where lots of games were close together. So... once they decide these things, and we saw it, haven't we? We've seen what the ECB have done during COVID. We had all those people sent home, 2 weeks. Moeen Ali, similar thing. He had COVID, couldn't play, but he still had this sort of, you're now going home. They've just taken a load of wickets in India. So they've got quite doctrinaire ways of managing people's strength, conditioning, fitness, and what have you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to not point the finger at Root.
No, absolutely. And the other, all necessarily the ECB. We don't, like we say, we don't know. It's like Leach wasn't playing for Somerset because of his Crohn's disease, not for any other reason. And people think they know why he's not and get angry before there's any confirmation of these things. So,
Harry? A week after the Strauss review for a reduction in the county championship, what an advert for four-day red ball cricket in this country. And Liam Norwell, superb.
Oh, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we thought the Yorkshire game was close with Patton and Best getting them there. But then the next day, even more excitement. I must confess, I was on the golf course Thursday afternoon. All the Division 1 games, bar that one, having finished on day three. I thought, fizzle out, nothing exciting. So yesterday, I had a day off yesterday. So I went and watched the whole day's back. I'm actually only 7 wickets down currently. So I have read the punchline, but I watched the whole YouTube stream back. And it's just phenomenal entertainment, with Davies and Sibley having a go in the morning. And then the bizarreness of Sam Hain coming out to bat when he was so unfit, in so much pain. I mean, Danny Briggs come back. I still don't understand why on earth Danny Briggs didn't come out before Sam Hain on one leg when he literally, I've never seen someone in so much pain after the one. He blocked it to extra cover. It's like he's been shot. It's just, yeah, as you say, it's a perfect advert for county cricket. And Warwickshire have done very well to stay up, having been the champions last year, to then cling on last minute in the last session is a perfect script to stay up from an excitement point of view.
Yeah, it was really high drama. It was not going to be possible. It just didn't feel possible. And then suddenly it was, and it was there.
And it's Norwell as well. I mean, Norwell's a fascinating character. I mean, he was apparently really distraught through the season because he felt he'd let his side down. He'd not been available. He'd taken his fitness to heart. And if he's not able to perform it, he was feeling terribly guilty. And then what a way to come back. And I think the scenes of glee at that last wicket, they're among the most fun you'll see this season. Hats flying in the air, people jumping up and down on top of each other. Just how much it means to Warwickshire to be in the First Division, how much it means to all these cricketers in the First Division to stay in the First Division. Because, look, it sounds patronising, it's not meant to, but if you are playing in one of those big clubs and the prospect of playing against Derbyshire and Leicestershire and Sussex, it's not appealing, I'm afraid. You know, Worcestershire, because they know full well that England selectors are watching on the First Division. They're not really taking an enormous amount of notice of what happens in the Second Division, unless it's like a 19-year-old like Rehan Ahmed, who I'm sure will come to shortly. But, you know, if you take an entire club, an entire structure down into that division, when it plays at Edgbaston, they just won it the year before. There are a few clubs that have done that, have gone down. Lancashire did it, didn't they? I think Yorkshire have won it and gone down. Middlesex have won it and gone down. But
three teams.
As we've discussed, it's so perilous to go down this year. So the relief was extraordinary. And I mean, I didn't really believe it was going to happen. So I was doing my expenses and it was sort of burbling on the background. And I actually missed the moment because once I knew they needed five runs with 3 wickets in hand or whatever it was it six runs with 3 wickets in hand, I'd kind of given up on it, gone into the other room to try and find the very, very awkward receipts that are strewn all over the room I'm currently in. And once I found them, came back in, discovered the fucking match was over. Sorry.
Yeah, it was shades.
I missed the moment.
It was shades of the 2005 Ashes, wasn't it? It was that unlikely they were going to win.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Well, talking of money, there were 145,000 reasons why Lancashire wanted to finish second, because that is the difference in prize money between second and third. And up at Old Trafford, they had the champions Surrey. Now, before the start of the season, Dan Norcross came on and predicted Surrey, and we poo-pooed him somewhat. But Lancashire got 512. Keaton Jennings again, 199. George Balderson, fresh off his hat-trick, got 97. 5 wickets there for Dan Moriarty. Surrey, 209. They followed on, 173. Only Rory Burns put up any resistance with 61. 5 wickets there for Tom Hartley, left-arm spinner. I like him. Leaving Lancashire easy winners. And it reminds me of an anecdote in Mick Quinn's autobiography when he was at Coventry. And it was in the days before that they all finished at the same time on the last day of the season. And Coventry still had 4 games left to play. One of them was against Everton, who were champions. And I think Coventry beat them 3 or 4 nil. He said you could smell the booze on the Everton player's breath. Dan Norcross, bit of a hangover for Surrey, do you think?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's actually followed exactly the same script as when they won the title the last time in 2018. They were unbeaten going to the last game. It was at the Oval. It was actually one of the best games of the season. It was absolute thriller that Essex squeaked over the line with. And nobody minded because Surrey were going to be given the title at the Oval. But actually, it is annoying because they could have been unbeaten. They could have been invincibles and they should have been. But, you know, they played Dan Moriarty, didn't they, at last? They actually picked a frontline spinner in their last game. He picked up five for on a pitch that was helpful to the spinners. It was a good toss to win as well. A couple of things on that match. So I love that Sky does a county championship match. But why were they there?
Just for awards, wasn't it? It was just for the awards.
But when we were at the Oval and Surrey won the week before, and Adam Collins was doing that game, we were sort of speculating, where will they go? I said, well, it's probably got to be Edgbaston, hasn't it? Because you know, Warwickshire have got to win. So somebody's got an incentive. Can you imagine?
That would have been a sensible one.
If Norwell's 9 for, if that match had taken place on Sky. I mean, no disrespect to the live stream, did a great job. But, you know, to have had all bells and whistles there would have been great. But just quickly on Surrey's season, you know, the reasons why I tipped them were partly blind faith, but actually really because they had Rory Burns back. And Burns has been absent in 2019, 20 and 21 when he was playing for England. And having an opening bat at the top of the order who's not going to play for England, who is your captain for the entire season, was terrific. Kemar Roach is that rarity among West Indian overseas players in that he's not that fast by the Caribbean Premier League, so you get him at both ends of the season. They got Pope and Folks. The other reason for tipping them was that with 7 county championship matches played in April and May, if you've got England players that don't play white ball and aren't out in the Indian Premier League, then you get massive use of them. And they were huge. Surrey's batting was really what got them over the line because, you know, there were better bowling, or I should say more effective bowling attacks in the county championship.
Hampshire's
took more wickets at a lower average. Yeah. But Surrey had a stock of players to pick from. They used 22 players. And the signing of Dan Worrell was probably one of the most inspirational of the whole season because he counted not as an overseas because of his British passport. And he's fantastic find for Surrey because he wants to qualify for England. He'll now play for the next 3 seasons. It's like getting an overseas who's not an overseas plugged into your side who can, if he's fit, play 14 championship matches, which, and that, I mean, that's absolute genius. I mean, a couple of words also for people like Tom Laws and Jordan Clark, who balance the side. We were talking earlier about needing runs off the fall of the 5th wicket. Well, emblematic of that was a match at Beckenham when they broke the world record for the most number of runs by a side without getting a century. Absolutely horrible flat deck. But nobody got 100 and it scored 672, I think it was. And the reason why that's interesting is because they bat all the way down. Jamie Overton, who Somerset graciously gave us... He was a really important player. And there were just so many of them. Will Jacks at the first part of the season, they suffered more from England call-ups than any other side because they were getting called up both in the Test arena and then different mob in the one day. So they're playing a different side every time. And to come through and win it is, you know, a testament really to the coaching setup and the genius of some of those signings. But
it was a bit
squeaky. I thought Hampshire were going to do it. I thought Hampshire were going to win it, though. It was them against Kent, absolutely fluffing their lines against Kent.
That was bizarre.
Mind-boggling. Why do they make a pitch like that? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Harry, just quickly, a couple of young spinners there coming through. And see the 4-day game, you know, creating sort of young spinners coming through in the game. Dan Moriarty and Tom Hartley both got a fifer. Good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad you come to me on this. I don't understand what's gone wrong with Amir Verdi can't get in the side blade pedal. Yeah, Dan Moriarty's not played. A big fan of Dan Moriarty. Verdi struggled when he played for Somerset at Southport, but Moriarty, I like seeing a proper spinner. You know, Will Jacks, he's a part-time spinner in 4-day cricket. He's batted well. He's more of a T20 player. He bowls off-spin darts, really. So it's nice to see Moriarty coming in. And I think Hartley is an underrated one in the Parkinson-Hartley partnership, which is predominantly in the T20 blast. It's great to see them playing together in the championship. And, I mean, my mate Will Williams is bowling superb at the top, him and Bailey, and then Parkinson and Hartley coming on and cracking spin partnership.
Yeah. And just going back to Surrey quickly, because, I mean, we're a little bit pushed for time. Surrey, you know, they've not only got the superstars, but they're developing their own youngsters as well. And that's fantastic to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that they're an all-around, you know, brilliant club. I was talking about them last night, actually. Just everything that they're doing, they are how to run a club. You've got so much good work going on in diversity. You've got fantastic conference facilities where they're making lots of money. You've got just generally a fantastic squad, and you've got a really big membership that is growing. It's a brilliant club. You can't fault them. All right, they have lots of money and that helps, and money earns money. But fabulous, and they deserve their win. So,
yeah. Well, thank God that bit of the show's over, being a Middlesex man. Let's go down to Canterbury. Let's go down the A2, where Somerset got 202. Only Lewis Goldsworthy showed some grit there. He got 94. Ex-Somerset man Nathan Gilchrist, 6 for 61. Kent then got a whopping 492. Moyaye, 85. Kadri, 87. Zach Crawley, 79. Ollie Robinson in his last game before going to Durham. He got 52. Casey Aldridge got a 6 for. Somerset then capitulated to 139. Kent winning that game by an innings and 151 runs. Annie, the Somerset batting is fragile.
It is fragile. It is. I mean, Tom Abel has had a fantastic season. He's had 5 centuries. But we do tend to rely on him a little bit. Tom Lamonby's been in. You know, he's getting better and he's learning and he's staying there. He's been good. We've got a few good young players, like, you know, obviously Goldsworthy is looking good, and James Rue, and so we have, but we've lost Hildreth. Davis has just not come to the party at all this season. So we've lost the older players. We've had some good signings with overseas signings, but Renshaw was good. It has looked fragile. I mean, we tend to do a collapse, don't we, Harry?
Yeah, absolutely. I was chatting to Craig Overton last night, and he actually said it was one of the worst he's seen the team bowl in years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just the bat. I mean, Somerset love giving players first-class bests. I mean, Hammond de la Cadre, I never knew we could get 87. Somerset just love. I mean, they bowled really poorly. I mean, Casey Aldridge, big shout-out to him.
Yep.
Getting his first-class 5 for, getting 6 for, but it was 6 for 110. I mean, yeah, he bowled very well, and he's not going to write home about it, but most of the bowlers are going at 4+. I mean, the way Tom Lamonby was just dismissed by Zach Crawley was almost embarrassing, bless him. I mean, Lamonby's done well, bowling in swing, something different, but the first 3 balls, Crawley had a look, and then he just went bang, 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 second over, bang, 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 and you look at the economy rates, and they're all going well over 3 and over. Even Craig Overton went at 3.5, and he was saying to me last night, he said that was expensive for me, you know, and he was disappointed with how he bowled. And you could tell it was after the Lord Mayor show, Andy Mead come in and Ben Green come in, but like Jack Brooks as well, because Imam was away, but it was, you know, the other 8 to play the week before done the job, and Somerset Hearts, I guess, just weren't in it.
Didn't matter. It was like Surrey, wasn't it? Neither of them had anything to play for, and it was a little bit like that. And we've had injuries with Josh Davies not look great.
I think that's what's worrying to me about Somerset, is that it feels like the side, the person isn't massively different. The loss of JB Overton, I think, is underestimated how important that is. And also what we talked about earlier, that where are the runs coming from? Somerset used to be a nightmare after for the 5th wicket, because they'd have Lewis Gregory, they'd have a couple of Overtons, they'd have Roloff van der Bloody Merwe would come and break carts at Surrey quite frequently. And that wasn't there this year. And the bowling attack, which has in the past looked really threatening when you got Gregory, Overton, Davey, it hasn't, it's missing Anne Overton, and it's just not fired.
Well, we've strengthened it for next year with Cola Cadmore and Dick Dixon.
They're big signings, I think. Yeah. I mean, you talk about the lower order. I mean, Sajid Khan seems to have contributed more with the bat than he has with the ball, the overseas spinner.
Yes, yes. I mean, balls. Why are we putting him right at the in the end of the batting lineup? Sorry, Dan, you want to get in there, don't you?
he bats 8 in Test cricket, and he bats 10 for Somerset.
Dan, I was going to ask you. I mean, Kent have got a trinity of wicket keepers there with Billings, Cox, and Robinson. Has it raised eyebrows with you the Robinson's off to Durham?
Yes, it really has, because you know you're choosing to go, firstly, to somewhere extremely cold and extremely dry, so you don't even you actually have to play up there, because it doesn't really rain a great deal, but it's about 10 degrees colder than anywhere else. But seriously, it's in the second division, and I don't know. I mean, I think if you'd been playing for Kent at the first half of the season, you had the toughest job in county cricket. Their bowler, I don't think they had a bowler who averaged below 40, so you were in the field for long stretches. It's really brilliant that Kent have got out of it, actually, because I thought they were one of the weakest sides in the division.
They were definitely
going
down, weren't they?
Weren't they? I thought they were. I thought they were a rabble who just couldn't take a wicket. Mm. And you've got to be able to take wickets to stay up normally. But they've turned it around. So yeah, I'm a little surprised. I mean, there could be any number of reasons. Roy Robinson wants to do that. He might have a much better deal at Durham. Durham might have sold him on the idea that they're going places. And you know, they've got a handy core of players at Durham. And when you've got a coaching setup that can inspire you and fire you up, then you know, I guess also what does happen at Durham is you don't spend 5 sessions in the field, because as a rule people don't score 550, do they? And it must be bloody dispiriting turning out for Kent, as I said then. But I just wonder what he's thinking now, because they've had a really fantastic end to the season. Their bowlers have started to get it together, and they were always able to bat. You know, they always had a halfway decent batting lineup, which meant that they could respond to the not ineptitude, but you know, the less than good bowling returns that they were getting. There was a point in the season when it was genuinely hilarious. I think after 10 or 11 games, there was nobody with more than 15 wickets and no one averaging below 40. And it was incredible to look at. Yeah, well, they did. I mean, didn't they sort of concede over 350 more times than anyone? Like, you know, Surrey scored over 300 in their first innings in every game until the Lancashire game. And the contrast with Kent was that they conceded like 350, 400 plus every time.
I think the lack of an overseas come in there. Matt Henry's done so well for them in recent years. And you look at, 2 weeks ago, I said on comms multiple times, Somerset will be all right, Yorkshire will be all right, Warwickshire will be all right. I said Kent will go down across here. They've got no overseas. And somehow, fair play to them, the local lads managed to keep them up.
Yeah, no, fantastic for Kent, who, you know, stayed up, 2 white ball trophies in 2 years, plus they won Division 3 for what it's worth last year as well. So, you know, their fans like a bit of a whinge on social media, but not all is bad, too bad down there in the Garden of England. Let's go up to Northampton. And Essex got 263, and that was thanks to Ben Allison, 69 at number 10 there. I've got visions of sort of Malcolm Allison and Ben Allison coming out with a cigar and a fedora hat there at number 10. Northampton got 163. Allison, in his fedora hat, got 5. Essex were then bowled out for 110. Jack White, not him of the White Stripes fame, but him of the Cumbrian lad to Northamptonshire. I saw one of the best tweets going out there the other day about Jack White, which is to the tune of My Doorbell by the White Stripes. And it said, I'm listening to George Dobell, baby. When are you going to ring it? When are you going to ring it? Northampton capitulated, 163 all out. Simon Harmer, 6 for 49. Northamptonshire staying up. Dan Norcross, they've got a lot of draws. Is 8 points for a draw too much, in your opinion?
No. I love the draw, you see. And people talk about trying to create England cricketers. And we've been complaining too much about pitches being designed for wins that will help out the dibbly-dobbly 70-mile-per-hour bowlers. If you want to get four-day cricket to last 4 days, you've got to have good pitches that are difficult to bowl sides out on, and you need to incentivise a side to hang on for a draw. And you've got to make it difficult for bowlers to bowl people out. I know county cricket isn't just about preparing people for England. Absolutely not. It's about the success. Each county wants to get success in its own right. But there is a point at which you want the very best players to graduate to the higher level. And although it doesn't necessarily seem to be a trait that Brendan McCullum is particularly keen on, or Ben Stokes for that matter, getting a draw, matches are only lasting 3 days in the Test arena. But there will come a time when, you know, they're playing on some flat decks in Australia and Pakistan, and you want people to dig in. And sometimes you won't be able to get a win. And I think it's perfectly fine. I think Northants have actually, you've got to give them some serious props this year. It's the first time they've gone up and stayed up. They're a classic yo-yo club. And on paper, they don't have the strongest side, but they've got some brilliantly named players. You've got Ricardo Vashkonshilosh, who it's impossible to say without putting on a bad Sean Connery. They've got Emilio Gay, who is a proper player. Great fun to watch. What I've been surprised about is actually how their bowling attack has come together to win them some games and take wickets, which on paper didn't think they really had. I thought that was going to be their weak link. So, you know, really fair play to them. And I love it when Northants have not just stayed up, they've comfortably stayed up.
Yeah.
And Yorkshire, who have got test ground, have gone down meekly and rather pathetically.
Makes
and
I think me very happy too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant for the county championship. Yep. It's what makes the tournament so good. You know, we can patronise these little counties. And Wantage Road is a shithole. But I think that makes it all the more magnificent, actually, that they've done it.
And just shows how important...
I love Wantage Road.
I quite love Wantage Road.
It's superb. You get really good chicken there. It's
that's always true, actually.
Chicken and potatoes, but it's, I love it. Harry, you said that's Jack true. White.
Yeah, I'm glad you come to me, Jack White. It makes me laugh. The ECB scorecard hasn't damn as C White. I guess Cameron White's trying to make it as North Ant seems. But really like Tom Taylor. Really impressed with Tom Taylor and Jack White bowling at... Lizard Williams was really poor. I mean, having commentated for 4 days on them 2 weeks ago, Lizard Williams was really poor. Tom Taylor bowled really well. I mean, James Sales didn't even play. So he bowled one over in this game. And James Sales is... You know, he's your bowling all round, he's going to bat eight. But everyone knows what Sanderson could do. So to see White and Taylor really come through good this year, and Rob Keogh bowling more and more overs as a frontline spinner, really, this year, is, you know, really good signs for Northampton. Emilio Gay, I mean, I love watching him bowl medium pace. I was having a right chuckle at him bowling medium pace the other day. But he, you know, he's got a lot of runs this year. And you look down their batting order, and I kept saying for the Somerset game, anyone in the top seven could come in and get 100. Saif Saeed coming in at seven scored that 100 against Surrey. So they've got dangerous players, and who gets an or Somerset going to win now? I said, well, no, because someone else could come and get these runs, and Tom Taylor's, you know, got runs at the end. And I think Northampton's one of those underrated sides, and to finish mid-table in Division 1 for a small club, inverted commas, is, you know, is a really good effort, and we've got to give them credit for it.
Yeah, well, next year they're going to have Junior Jumble, as they call him, James Sales. They're going to have Ollie Sale from Somerset. They've got more bloody sales than MFI, I tell you. Annie, Essex. They'll be disappointed in finishing fourth. Do you think?
Yeah, they will do. Like Somerset are disappointed to be celebrating not getting relegated. Essex and Somerset have both been up there recently competing for the top spot. So, both of us have underachieved this year, definitely. So, yeah, Essex will be really disappointed. But, you know, they never had that heart-in-mouth moment at the end of the season like we did. So, you know,
On Essex, I think the biggest worry for them is their batting. You know, they won county championships on the basis of a rampaging bowling lineup: Porter, Cook, Harmer, Aaron Beard. I mean, they were superb, matchless at Chelmsford, incredibly difficult to beat. But they also had sticky batters. And when the pitch at Chelmsford could be quite capricious, they had guys, you know, Nick Brown, Ali Cook, Tom Wesley, and of course, Dan Lawrence coming to the fore. Their batting hasn't fired this season. They've been a bit out of form, and that's really what's meant. I mean, they'll be disappointed with fourth. They'll be disappointed with fourth because they're a really, really good side. So I don't think they need to be worried. It's about getting some of their batters back in form next year. Sam Cook has been not exactly a revelation because we knew that he was good, but he's just gone up a different notch. You know, I know Annie won't like to hear this, but in the 100, I didn't think that he had those white ball skills in him. I really didn't. I thought that he was a bit Porterish. He was a red ball bowler.
Was he good
in the
100, was he?
He was very good, yeah. I mean, he just has a lot of variety. And his bowling has gone on to a different level. He's got way more deliveries up his sleeve than I thought he had. I thought he was sort of metronomic, bit of natural variation. But he's more than that. And we will have to face a post-Anderson world at some point. And I think he probably will be in the frame from 2024 onwards if he keeps on going this way.
Yeah, they were. The Sky Sports did a vodcast, actually, and they had the list of players they're particularly looking at, and they showed Sam Cook's stats compared against Robinson Overton. I found that really interesting. Looking at, you know, he's in the picture. We've seen Beard sort of, it was Cook, Porter and Beard, wasn't it? Snater's come in and Allison's coming a bit, but that Essex attack. You do think of them as three or four or five of the guys, just right arm, metronomic, medium paces, but they do well. They keep getting wickets. And I mean, Simon Harmer's had a decent season, but he's not fired as much as he had a couple of years ago. The seamers have contributed. But I think, like you say, I think Essex, that middle order, they've gone from Tender Scarch and Bapar, I guess, a couple of years ago, that experience. And now Cushy, Critchley, Pepper, there's a little bit of an experience in the middle order, which is probably let them down a little bit too.
Right, well, let's round up the table. So Dan Norcross is Surrey. on 250 points. Championes. Lancashire finished second, 225 points. Hants, 224. Essex, 202. In a big gap down to Kent, 158. Northants, 154. Somerset, 149. Warwickshire, staying up by the skin of their Birmingham teeth on 141. Yorkshire, 138. And Dan Whiting's Gloucestershire on 114. Right, let's go on to Division 2. My favourite part of the show coming up. And let's go to New Road at Worcestershire, where Middlesex still had a bit of work to do to get that promotion place. And Worcestershire got 225 all out. Toby Rowland-Jones again in the wickets, 4 for 50. Middlesex then required, because the game at Glamorgan, or the game down at Hove where Glamorgan were playing, was looking sort of as if it was nailed on for a draw. So Middlesex, providing that they got a draw and maximum batting points to go along with their maximum bowling points, looked like they were going to get promoted. And they got that. They actually got 509, but they got that thanks to Stephen Eskenazi, 115. John Simpson passed 1,000 runs. Not bad for a number six. He got 92. Mark Stoneman also passed 1,000 runs. Dan, John Simpson, are you a fan?
Oh, massive fan. I'll tell you, one of the selections in recent years that has driven me more mad than any other was Lords last year against New Zealand, when England were missing, I think, Bairstow, Butler, Folks, all unavailable for various reasons, IPL induced and injury. And so they went to James Bracey, who is a really promising cricketer, I thought, who could play for England in a few years' time. And they bunged him in the side as a number seven keeper, didn't they? When right off the shelf, waiting for them, was arguably the best or second best gloveman in the country, who plays at Middlesex, is as experienced as they come, knows his game inside out. The England selectors did relent and picked him in the one-dayers when that COVID side was compromised and they had to bring in the third stream, and he was brilliant behind the stumps. I think he's been one of the most consistent keeper batters in the country for years. It's his misfortune that England have been blessed with more exciting names, you know, either Folks because of his fabulous hair and teeth and brilliant glove work and really quite acceptable batting, or Bairstow and Butler that make us all swoon. And no one really swoons over John Simpson, but they should do. And again, in the dreaded 100, one of the funniest things I ever saw was him at Headingley last year pump Stephen Finn for 29 runs in 5 balls. You may wonder how he got there. There's a no ball and a wide thrown in. He's a serious hitter. When Middlesex have needed the pace to be upped, he's just superb at that. And it was really crucial. He was part of that. I was watching that, and had Middlesex ended up with 4 bonus points in batting and Glamorgan had won and Middlesex had drawn, I'm right in saying that Glamorgan would have gone up on more wins. So it was actually essential that they got to 400 and in the time. And having a player like John Simpson, who just knows exactly what he's doing and will get you there, because he plays at a really good tempo and he's a fabulous keeper. I mean, he's so unlucky not to have played Test cricket for England, but he's part of what will make Middlesex, I think, a genuine threat next year. Robson and Stoneman at top of the order, that's a proper opening pairing. Simo will still be around, Eskenazi, and their bowling is starting to come together. I mean, it's a shame that Rowland-Jones has lost a yard or two of pace, but that might come back. And if it does, then it's a side that's not quite as strong as the one that won in 2016. But I think Middlesex fans can dream. In the right circumstances, on the right pitches, on the right day, there'll be a match for anyone.
And John Simpson's been right at the heart of it.
Absolutely.
He's a class act, isn't he, John Simpson?
I was going to come on to you, Annie. I mean, you know, it's the last day of term. We're all demob happy. We've all brought our games into school. Annie's got her Totopoly in
here. Oh, Totopoly. I remember that, yes.
Stephen Eskenazi. He's had a good season as well. Especially
he's not had a bad season, has he? No, absolutely. He's been pretty important. And that, 115... 208 balls, very, very important innings again. So, yeah, he's been fabulous. Really, really strong this season. Great to have him there.
And Harry, Mark Stoneman, 1,000 runs. He's been rejuvenated since leaving Surrey.
Yeah.
Do you think he could still possibly do a job for England?
Yeah, Rocky Stoneman, I just feel like he's got that heart, that fight, that desire. He was in that weird, that period post-Strauss, wasn't he, where Compton was tried, Robson was tried. There were, what, 9 openers? Poor Alistair Cook just had someone different every other month. Like, and I feel like him, Compton, Robson, a few of them were probably hard done by. He did all right. He didn't do any worse. I haven't looked at the stats, but I don't think he did any worse than Alex Lees, to be honest with you. But, you know, maybe McCullum sticking with Lees. And Stoneman, he's a very good player. When he gets going, he's got that grip from Durham. And I think the way he cuts off the back foot and just sort of throws his hand at it, in control still, I think he's a dangerous, dangerous opener. We saw Adam Live do it quite well, an aggressive left-hander. You contrast him to Burns or Sibley, you think, you know, could he have... You know, in this Bazball approach, I thought, you know, he'd be quite a good opener. Yeah, I think he could have another chance, but I'm not Brendan McCullum.
Well, I think actually his opening partner, Sam Robson's also overlooked unfairly. Yeah. And look, his season dropped off a little bit, but I saw him early on against Notts, and Notts had a proper bowling attack out that day. They had Broad, they had Pattinson. I mean, it was serious. And he got a match-saving 100. There was a bit of rain around. And Middlesex were up against it, and his technique was impressive. He played the ball late. I think he shone more actually when the pitches were difficult than when the pitches actually flattened out a touch. But I think that could be, you know, what you want, as we said earlier, in the County Championship is players who are good enough or nearly good enough to play for England but aren't getting selected. And if you've got Stoneman and Robson all season for 14 matches, that is a very, very handy pairing to have at the top of the order, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Trent Bridge. And Nottinghamshire got 662 for 5. Asiba Mead, 115. Matthew Montgomery, 178. Lyndon James, 164. Steve Mullaney, he got 136. Durham, with drizzle and rain in their side, were hoping that it pissed down at this point. They got 207. Notts then batted again. Why? They got 121 for 2 before Durham capitulated for 114 all out, leaving Notts winners by the mere margin of 462 runs. Harry, we've spoken about Notts all season. They finally went up as champs, fully deserved.
Yeah, but I mean, it shows again. We talk about it shows the strength in depth. The fact that the centurions, you expect me to get 100, to be honest with you. But Montgomery and Lyndon James coming in, you know, you expect Mullaney to have a whack when the platform's set. But they've had other contributions. You know, we know their top six the last few years and been unbelievable. I remember a few years ago when it was Brendan Taylor and Samit Patel were playing all three formats, and Dan Christian was playing the T20, and you thought their top six was amazing. And you know, you had Hales and Clark, but with no Hales, no Clark, Slater's decent opening bat, and then Hamid, of course, they're not quite as strong as they were, but you know, they found a way. And you think that, I'm shocked that they played in Division 2, really. That, you know, they're on paper, that a couple of seasons ago, they're an absolute shocker. I think it was a surprise to everyone. But I mean, if you look at it from a Durham point of view, and Liam Travaskis and George Drizzle going for 173 off 34 overs and 107 off 23, and Drizzle wasn't even meant to play, he came in last minute. But We saw him at Somerset last year, played at Gloucester a bit. It's not ideal bowling off spin on a flat one against the Notts batting lineup, is it?
No, and as anybody though, it's the least surprising championship that I think that there has ever been. I mean, yeah. I don't think any of you were predicting anything other than Notts. They were playing in the wrong division, without a shadow of a doubt. But one guy I think is worth mentioning a lot is Ben Duckett. And it's also worth pointing out that there are rare occasions in which you can really shine in the second division and get picked back up by England. And I think there's a problem for Notts next year, actually, in that he's now back in the England fold, not just in white ball. He was brought in, wasn't he, when Bairstow broke his leg, into the test squad for the last test match. So he's looking like next cab off the rank. So they did, and who knows, his performances for England might also get him an IPL contract, which would then eat into the start of the season. So they'll be, I think they'll find that the step up next year to the first division a bit more difficult than they would have done if they were playing in the first division this year. Perversely.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like how Hamid gets on as well, batting in the first division again. He's had a good season, which has been really nice to see.
Yeah. Durham would dock 10 points as well for Nick Madison's bat.
Harsh.
Yeah, CB like to dock Durham points, don't they, Annie?
Yeah.
They really do seem to, don't they? There is a little bit of inconsistency here. Who makes these decisions? It's very, very bizarre. But yeah, it is a bat. Mm.
But also, don't do it. I mean, you don't get any kind of advantage. I totally agree that the punishment does not fit the crime. But, you know, it's a little bit like mancadding. Just don't do it. And then these things won't be a problem, will they?
But it had passed before, hadn't it? I think that's what I'd heard, that the bat...
Oh, had it?
Yeah,
oh,
it had passed before.
In that case, that's just outrageous.
Yeah, I thought it was outrageously harsh.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I felt like, you know, when you go to the post office and you've got an oversized parcel on the bat.
Ram it through.
Can fit through.
Yeah. But do they have a bat caliper? Do the umpires come out with it like they have for the ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have it in club cricket. I played a club cricket game in March, and the overseas lad, Afghanistan test player for Bobby Tracy, and he hit the boundary, and the ump said, "Oh, that went too far to the boundary or something," and got to check his bat. Checked his bat, didn't go through. Made him change his bat.
Really?
In club cricket, proper.
Yeah.
You know, every change room has to have this caliber thing. We have to have our bats checked. And our number 11 has a massive sleeper piece of wood, and he tried all season to get away with his big bat. But,
can I just ask you one question, you guys? Because I haven't seen much of Notts apart from Lords against Middlesex. And obviously, we're talking about spinners, the dearth of spinners. Noam Averdi, Dan Moriarty, only playing the one game. Liam Patterson White. I saw a bit of him. But am I right in saying that he's the leading English qualified wicket-taking spinner in the country? I think I saw that graphic pop up on Twitter. I wondered if you guys had seen much of him and if there's excitement to be had.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. I think it was Craig Aitken on Shanty last night saying Pakistan series, he's, you know, who do you go? You go Leach, yes. Do you go Best? Do you go Parkinson? And I think Patson White's got to come into it because... He can bat. He scored first class 100. He's a good young cricketer, and that left arm's like different. Yes, Jack Leach bowled left arm, but I've been really impressed with him. He played ahead of Matt Carter at Taunton. I was commentating last year. It was last year or a couple of years ago, and that was a surprise at the time. He sort of came from nowhere. Matt Carter was doing well, and now Carter's sort of gone down the pecking order. And Patson White is, you know, he's your go-to spinner, and the three seamers can then rely on him to hold up one end while Patterson, Fletcher, Broad can sort of rotate the other end, and Jake Ball, who's playing. No, I think he's a really exciting talent.
He's certainly got a few wickets, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not fully deserved that. Why they batted third, though, and got an extra 20 runs, having a lead of 4-6.
That was bizarre. And then declare when they're on 48, and don't let them get their 50s either.
Yeah, 48 and 49. 49, it's like...
I thought at the time that it was like a sort of cunning ruse to ensure that they didn't get any overrate penalties. But it can't be that, because I thought they were just going to bat out the game and make sure of the championship by not having to bowl and then, you know, get into trouble and be docked a point or two. But it clearly wasn't that. It was just weird.
But 121 off 30 overs, it wasn't even that quick scoring either.
I know. It's just odd. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there was a horse race on that nine of the team wanted to watch or something.
I won't put it back. That last round of the season, Phil.
Well, it's all change at Durham, isn't it? Because James Franklin's going and they're recruiting. Ollie Robinson's coming, as we mentioned earlier. Sean Dixon's on his way out to Somerset. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Let's go down to Hove, where Glamorgan was still in with a sniff at the championship. And they started well. They got 533 for 9. Shubman Gill, 119. Chris Cook, 141. Sussex then responded, 258. Only Tom Haynes there with 108, showing any fight. They followed on, but they put on 328 for the opening stand. Adior, 198. Tom Haynes, 177. Daniel Ibrahim, 100. There was 5 wickets there for Andrew Salter. But Glamorgan were ruining that last session at Lords 2 weeks ago against Middlesex, which, you know, in effect ruined their season. And Dan, it's amazing, isn't it, how one session can define your season.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with Hampshire when they bowled out 57 by Kent. Actually, it was a similar kind of thing. I mean, and it's a long game is the County Championship, but it's a little bit like that maxim about bankruptcy. You know, you're not bankrupt, and then suddenly you are. So it takes a very long time to get bankrupt. It takes a very long time to mess up your County Championship aspirations, and then suddenly you do it. But I think Glamorgan fans and Glamorgan players will look back on this season with a lot of positivity, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think that they would necessarily have thought they'd have challenged quite so hard and quite so far, because when you looked at that second division, you thought Notts are definitely going to win it. So everyone's scrambling for second place, and Middlesex are a strong side. Really,
yeah, I mean, the two that you expected to go up,
they were
going up. Yeah,
they were, and they batted really well, actually, pretty much the whole of the season, Glamorgan, which is why it's sort of sad for them that it all came down to a session when things imploded. But I also want to take a look at Sussex, because they have been in turmoil. I mean, they are putting out basically children who smell of milk. They've only just come off the wet nurse.
I tell you what, Orr is a really interesting player, and he looked amazing when
that
he
double hunted at Somerset.
Yeah. That was carnage, wasn't it?
That's something else, one of the best innings I can remember seeing. It was, he didn't give a chance, he just smoked it over extra cover. But I mean, I was looking at Lizzie Hammond put out her team of the year, and Tom Hayes was in it batting at three, and I thought, oh, interesting. But then I suppose when you get unders in the last two games of the year, it helps. You're fresh in everyone's mind and obviously boosts you up. But I mean, yeah, Ali Orr run out on 198.
I know.
I know. To run out as well. But, you know, look, I think the other thing that is problematic for Sussex is they play on a pitch that is a nightmare to bowl on. And so unless you've got good young fast bowlers and a little bit of experience that can meld it all together, you're in trouble. Now, Stephen Finn was supposed to be their experience, and bless him, he's had injury problems for a lot of the summer. So that you take out that kind of wise old head, and then you're putting in guys who are barely even professionals. You know, they've got academy players out there, and they're playing up against proper hardened professionals, against Glamorgan. You know, that's a side with a lot of experience in it. And they've been horribly exposed this summer. They've lost their head coach, haven't they? Salisbury's gone.
But do we know any of the reasons behind that? That's all,
Not really. Yeah. And there's upheaval there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's
upheaval. They've lost so many players, haven't they?
They have. I mean, their batting is their shining light, really. Mm. And it's players like Haynes and Ali Orr, and then the signing of Pujara.
Yeah,
they had Rizwan for a while. I mean, there's a revolving
door of
stars. Yeah, absolutely awesome. But
and
they've got to take wickets.
Yeah.
You've got to get wickets. And you looked at that bowling attack. I'm sure they'll come good eventually, but they're so young.
Yeah,
you're not going to win games of county championship cricket.
They just needed Michael Hogan keeping, didn't they, in his short sleeves this time last year, that ridiculous game at the Oval. Eight bowlers Glamorgan used. I love looking at wacky scorecards. Johnny Tatsell bowled last week.
Yeah, I know.
Sam Northeast bowling. Chris Cook bowling.
That brings me on nicely, because I was going to ask Annie, there's a lovely tweet out there from Michael Hogan with one set of pads barely used.
Yes.
And I think we're going to see the man who swapped New South Wales for South Wales, Michael Hogan. I think that's going to be his last game. And he's like the Steve Patterson, the Welsh Steve Patterson, isn't he? And he's become a legend, even though he's Australian. He's loved in South Wales. And he's been a good servant for Glamorgan, isn't he, Annie?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think he's made it through his entire first-class career without being out LBW. That is amazing, isn't it? I mean, the bloke is 65 or something, and he looks even older.
It's because he backs away to square leg so much.
He definitely does not get in line, clearly. But it's amazing to get through an entire career without being LBW. That's what I loved about that tweet.
That's fantastic. You know,
unused.
Yeah. Unused.
Well, unused.
Let's wrap up down at Leicester. And Leicestershire got 249. Sam Connors, we talk about him regularly. We like him. He's quick. He got Pfeiffer. The opticians, Darlin Aitchison, they got four between them. Derbyshire then, Got 568 for 9. Lewis Rees, 116. Billy Godelman, 158. Wayne Madsen, 92. I'll come on to him in a minute. There's 5 there for Rian Ahmed. Leicestershire responded with 405 for 7. Rian Ahmed again, 122 before the game ran out of time. Annie, Wayne Madsen, what servant he has been for Derbyshire.
Yeah, I mean, in all formats, he's just been great. He's been absolutely, as the old cliche, leading from the front. I mean, what a brilliant, brilliant player. I hope he gets another couple of years and keeps going, because he's been so important to the club. Absolutely brilliant. And has had a fantastic season. Really, really good.
Yeah. And then Rian Ahmed.
Oh, well, you just get ridiculous. Somebody's a leggy, you get stupidly excited. Mm. And then when he's a leggy, you can bat. A bit like we did with young Adil Rashid, we start to sort of project all sorts of possibilities onto him. England obviously seen it as well, because they've had him in and around England squads, not with a view to picking him, but so he gets the idea and the feel of what's involved in international cricket. So they obviously see a really high ceiling for him. And playing in a team that is getting pumped every week and still performing is quite an achievement. I mean, it helps that you're young, I think. You don't want to be a gnarled 32-year-old professional playing for Leicestershire, because it really will hasten your retirement. But if you're young, you get the opportunities. I mean, that's the other thing. It's one of the things that's often like not appreciated about so-called lesser counties or counties like Leicestershire who are struggling, is that it gives opportunities to young spinners. Now, Rayan Ahmed would not have got a bowl for Surrey this year, as was witnessed by the fact that, you know, Amaverdi didn't, and Dan Moriarty only played the one game. So one of the great things that having 18 counties does is allow the opportunity to test out young talent up against properly decent players and see how they get on. And he's acquitted himself terrifically well. But I don't know what Leicester should do, to be honest with you, in the wider scheme of things. They look like they're going nowhere. Sussex at least will point to their youth policy and see players coming to fruition and sort of say, well, they've earned some scars this year. I don't know what positives a Leicestershire fan can really take. they're not really there, are they?
Yeah, they've had a reasonable white ball season. They were going well in the T20 before getting deducted points. They qualified from the Royal London Cup. But in Red Bull cricket, I agree with you. I think they've had a Western. They've had a super mare. So, you know, it's been a grim year. Harry, touching on Dan's point there about Amaverdi not coming through yet, people like Rian Ahmed get a go at Leicestershire. How important is it to have 18 counties so we can bring through that young talent?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, he as we say, he might not have got a gig elsewhere, and I think Rian Ahmed will be the next Adil Rashid. I think he's a perfect fit to come in there. But it's a funny one. The East Midlands, you've got so many counties sort of near each other: Notts, Leicestershire, Derbyshire, Northants. They're all not that far away down the sort of M1 corridor. It sounds all this talk of that's probably going to be targeted. You know, you feel like they're going to cut one or two of them is going to go, which is sad and depressing. But I mean, Sean Jarvis has done a wonderful job. I worked with him at Huddersfield Town when I was working there, and he's done a wonderful job in the commercial department, bigging up, getting people in, targeting the Asian community around Leicester and getting, you know, young kids into the game. And, you know, all the cricketers that play in Leicester don't want to lose that opportunity to go and watch top level cricket. And, you know, I went and watched West Indies A against England Lions there a couple of years ago, and it's a lovely feel of a cricket ground where people love the game.
I should entirely agree with you there, Harry. I think Sean Jarvis is a fantastic CEO.
Yep.
He really has. I don't know what he can do more than he's doing.
Yeah.
But also, Dan, you're absolutely right. I mean, they should have qualified for finals day. They should have qualified for the quarterfinals and then played against Surrey, and then Surrey might have beaten them rather than lose to bloody Yorkshire in that.
Or might have bottled it in the last over.
Yeah, don't, please. Jesus, that was the day Boris Johnson resigned. It was supposed to be a happy day for me, and it turned out.
And look at what's happened now.
Well, yeah, I know. Let's not go down that. I know I started it. I invaded Poland. I think what they're doing in the community and what they're doing as a club is great. Yep. But again, exactly what Harry said, I think they struggle because really good young players, at the moment they have a couple of good performances for Leicestershire. We know the well-trodden path up the road to Trent Bridge if they can get in there. And now they'll also have down the road to Northants, because Northants are starting to cement themselves in the first division. So it just makes it doubly difficult for Leicestershire to hold on to their players.
Yeah. Well, all that's left is for me to round up the table. And it's Nottinghamshire who were getting the beers in at ye olde Trip to Jerusalem, the oldest pub in England, just under Nottingham Castle. They finished top of the table, 241 points. Middlesex, 225. Glamorgan, 216. Worcestershire, 194. Derbyshire, 185. Durham, 174. Then a big, big gap down to Sussex at 128. And Leicestershire, unfortunately, finished on 93. And that is that for the season.
Oh,
and what a season.
I hate it
been.
When you say that.
Yeah.
Oh. God, how
winter well, isn't it? No.
And it's,
well, you know my theory, don't you? I've told you, I'm sure you know my theory, that the way to get through the off season is to break each month down into a year of the Second World War. Because the Second World War was almost exactly 6 years long. And the off season is exactly 6 months long.
Do I have to go in the trenches?
No. You don't have to do. You don't have to do anything. But what it will help you with is that 11 days of the Second World War passes every day in our timeline. Okay. So at the time of recording, we're about 11:30. So what this means is this is now about the 6th of September, 1939. The Nazis are in full flow in Poland. We are being rather complacent about it, because we think, well, it's not going to get to us. A few kids have been, you know, redirected to Shropshire. But broadly speaking, we're still not under rationing. Then the clocks will go back. When the clocks go back, that's when Dunkirk happens. And then we realise that we're in for the long haul. And it is unbelievably shit. Fans of cricket, I stand in solidarity with you. What we've got to do is shoulder to the wheel, head down, get Netflix on, get Disney Plus on. If you haven't watched Only Murders in the Building, do so instantly. Severance is fantastic. Probably take up Arabic, learn a new language.
You know what? I feel like I've gone into some strange tunnel of your brain, Dan Norcross. I do worry a little now.
Can you write a book about how to get through the winter for any cricketing fan, please?
Well, I'll tell you what. I will post when you send out this podcast. I will post the article that is on the Surrey website that I wrote exactly about this. It's about 3,000 words, cut out and keep guide. To how to survive,
oh, great.
The off season, and it's all laid out for you.
I've struggled already. We've had one day, and I'm losing the plot already. I went cycling with my mum yesterday. I was that desperate for something to do.
Well, as Londoners, Dan, let's get through the blitz of January, and then we'll be all right, mate.
Yeah, well, I think actually the blitz in our timeline happens a little bit early. It happens right at the beginning of November, and it times perfectly with Guy Fawkes Night. So the when things go bang all over the city, that's basically the Luftwaffe. And it's because Guy Fawkes Night and Diwali happen at the same time. That's the 90 days of blitz we have to put up with. But we'll get through it. I'm off to Australia, which will help me a little bit. But I don't know, I arrive back on the 16th of November, so I'll be jolted straight into, I think we all agree, don't we, the worst of the year.
What does November give to anyone? I totally agree with you.
Nothing. It's dark, but it's getting darker. It's cold, but it's getting colder. And we're miles away still from the cricket
Thanks
season.
For that, so. Again. And that concludes our final county cricket natters. And I just want to thank Dan Whiting. Thank you, Dan, for all of your hard work this year.
Thank you, Annie. It's been a pleasure, and it's been a wonderful season, and long may the 18 counties continue.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Harry, thank you. Thank you for stepping up in the last couple of rounds. It's been great to have you with us.
Yeah, didn't feel like stepping up this morning. But
no, I'm sure you did. And thank you very much to Dan Norcross for doing the first one of this, and then the last. You wanted to come on, didn't you, just to say about how right you were.
I did, yeah. I was hoping you were going to find the clip and just release it. Because I'm very, very, very rarely right about these things. So when I am, I intend to crow about it from the rooftop. So thank
you. Well,
you
crowed about it, okay?
I did,
definitely crowed about it.
As Del Boy would say, you're a physic.
And let's hope next season is wonderful, and let's just hope we continue to have, as Dan says, 18 counties and continue to have a sensible amount of championship matches that keep the wonderful, wonderful championship going. Thank you all.
Hear it.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Podcast Network.